We'll turn tonight in God's Word to Mark's Gospel, chapter 7. Certainly the passage our brother read would tie in well with the theme tonight, and so perhaps our brother was thinking upon the subject and thinking of a suitable chapter to read. But we'll come to Mark chapter 7 now. We'll read these verses, and we trust the Lord will bless them as we read them tonight publicly in God's house. Mark chapter 7, verse 1. Then came together unto him the Pharisees, and certain of the scribes, which came from Jerusalem. And when they saw some of his disciples eat bread with defiled, that is to say, with unwashing hands, they found fault. For the Pharisees and all the Jews, except they wash their hands, oft eat not, holding the tradition of the elders. And when they come from the market, except they wash, they eat not. And many other things there be, which they have received to hold, as the washing of cups and pots, and brazen vessels, and of tables. Then the Pharisees and the scribes asked him, Why walk not thy disciples according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashing hands? He answered and said unto them, Well hath Elias prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written, This people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, they hold the tradition of men, as the washing of pots and cups, and many other such like things ye do. And he said unto them, Full well ye reject the commandment of God, that ye may keep your own tradition. For Moses said, Honor thy father and thy mother, and whosoever curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, If a man shall say to his brother, or say to his father or mother, It is Korban, that is to say, a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, he shall be free. And ye suffer him no more to do aught for his father or his mother, making the word of God of none effect through your traditions, which ye have delivered, and many such like things do ye. Amen. May God bless the public reading of his truth to our hearts. Let's just ask for God's help now in the preaching of his truth this evening. Our Father in heaven, we just draw nigh to thee now as we come to your word. We recognize we need your help, we need your guidance. Lord, we know that by nature we are dim of understanding. By nature, Lord, we are hard of heart. By nature, O God, we have ears that are stopped. And we just pray, O God, that by your Spirit thou wouldst come and, Lord, enable us to receive your word tonight with gladness. We think of how Lydia, and the Lord opened her heart and she received the word. And we pray, O God, thou wouldst open our hearts tonight and thou wouldst speak to us even as we come to look at this solemn subject. Give to us judgment day honesty. Give to us, O God, that heart that is prepared to receive the word of God. We pray, O God, thou wouldst speak to each one tonight. Again, thank you for each one that is found here. Pray, O Lord, thou wilt speak to each and every individual. Give help in the preaching of your word. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. As I announced this morning, the subject as we turn to God's word tonight is the heart-searching subject of the religious hypocrite, or the religion of the hypocrite. In Mark chapter 7, verses 1 to 13, the Savior is addressing this subject, the subject of the religious hypocrite. The Pharisees and scribes in this passage had confronted the Lord Jesus and they challenged him because his disciples had eaten bread with unwashed hands. The disciples of Christ seemed to have little regard for the traditions and customs that the Jewish elders had foisted upon the people of Israel. They seemed to have no regard for these things. They dismissed them. They didn't observe them. But as the Pharisees and scribes bring this matter to Christ, notice the Savior's words to these men in verse 6 here. He answered and said unto them, Well hath Elias prophesied of you hypocrites. The Lord Jesus, as he answers these men, he calls them hypocrites. This is how he describes them. This is how he identifies them. Hypocrites. He calls them hypocrites. And then after the Lord Jesus identifies these men as hypocrites, he speaks to the people concerning the serious subject of being a religious hypocrite. These men come and they are religious hypocrites. But Christ uses this opportunity to expound this truth, this serious and this solemn truth, so that all the people will be made clear on this very serious condition, the condition of the religious hypocrite. The word hypocrite simply means a pretender or an actor. And that's what the word hypocrite literally means. A pretender or an actor. If you think of a person who is acting in a film, that person is pretending to be something they are not. An actor in a film could be a police officer. They could wear a police uniform, drive a police car, walk in and out of a police station. They could be filmed investigating crime, chasing criminals, and even arresting people for crime. But is the actor really a police officer? Do they have the power to detain people? Do they have the power to charge people with crime? Do they really represent the government? Of course not. The whole thing is just a great act. It's all pretending. Pretending so that it might appear real and that it might appear convincing. That's what they're doing. And we can say the best actors are those who can make that which is not real seem real. The best actors are those that are the best pretenders to make something that isn't genuine seem real and genuine. And so as Christ called these men hypocrites, he was making it clear to all that day that these men were just pretenders. They were just actors. Yes, they look good actors, or they were like good actors. And they might have the right costume. They might use the right language. They might perform the right parts. They might even be found in the right place. But these people were not genuine. They were not genuine about their religion. They were mere hypocrites. They were mere pretenders and actors. Of all the things that Christ could say about men, of all the ways Christ could describe men, there is perhaps nothing worse than the Lord Jesus to say, "You hypocrite." How condemnatory is it for the Son of God, the Holy Son of God, to say of men, "You hypocrite." Even in this world and amongst men, the hypocrite is despised. And the hypocrite is looked down upon with scorn. Charles Haddon Spurgeon, the great preacher, said, "Of all the things in the world that stink in the nostrils of an honest man, hypocrisy is the worst." Hypocrisy is grieving to man. It is that which jars with us. Even though man by nature is sinful, and even though man's heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, yet hypocrisy still irks us. It doesn't sit well with us. We despise a hypocrite. We look down upon them. We would almost scorn them and their hypocrisy. Yet how much more abhorrent must it then be to a thrice holy God? How much more offensive must it be to a God who knows not only our deeds and our words, but also our thoughts and our motives? How stinking must hypocrisy be to the one who is all-knowing, all-seeing, and all-wise? It is the most abhorrent. It is the most disgusting thing before his face. As the Lord Jesus called these men out for what they were, hypocrites, pretenders, we are reminded that he knows what is in the heart of men. He knows our true spiritual state. He knows if we truly love him, or if in life in regard to spiritual matters, it is just an act. It is all a pretense. In this world, we might deceive others into thinking that we belong to Christ. But we will never deceive Christ. He will never be conned by the words or by the actions of a hypocrite. And that is what we learn here right away. These men came and they appeared so pious. They appeared so righteous and good and holy. But immediately Christ exposes them for what you are. You hypocrites. You see, he knows our hearts. And he knows our spiritual state. And we cannot dupe him. We cannot hoodwink him. He knows us exactly as we are. And confronting these religious pretenders, the Lord Jesus in this passage sets before us the religion of the hypocrite. And so tonight as we look at these words, let us do so very carefully. And let us do so examining our own hearts and lives under the searchlight of Scripture. As we consider the solemn truth the Lord Jesus declares here, we must do so asking ourselves the question, is my religion authentic? Or is it but an act? Do I really belong to Christ? Or am I just a pretender? Am I a religious hypocrite? These are the things that we must consider as we come to God's word tonight. The first thing I want us to see here in the religion of the hypocrite is the problem of the hypocrite. The problem of the hypocrite. And we have the great problem of the hypocrite revealed in verses 1 and 2 here in this passage. Notice again what it says in these verses. Then came together unto him the Pharisees and certain of the scribes which came from Jerusalem. And when they saw some of his disciples eat bread with defiled, that is to say, with unwashing hands, they found fault. We see here in verse 1 that the Pharisees and the scribes came down from Jerusalem to see the Lord Jesus. Perhaps these men had heard of the many miracles that Christ had performed. Last time he noted how many people in the region of Gennesaret had been miraculously cured as they touched the Savior. And such was the excitement of the Lord Jesus healing the sick that people were carrying their friends. They were carrying their family that were ill out into the street so that they could meet with Christ, that they might be cured. We don't know. But this may well have been the reason why these religious men left Jerusalem and came down to the region of Gennesaret. However, we can say this. These men, these religious men, these Pharisees and scribes did not come down to see Christ that they might be taught of him. They didn't come down to see Christ that they could worship him. They didn't come down to see Christ because they felt their need of him. Instead, these men came down to Jerusalem to meet with Christ that they might judge him. They came with critical hearts that they might examine the Savior. And that's what they came to do. And this is made so clear from the fact that as soon as they speak to the Savior, as soon as they confront him, it is to criticize his disciples. This is what they do. And let us just try and place ourselves into the text here. Imagine meeting with the one who had performed many, many mighty works. Imagine meeting with the one who had healed the sick and delivered many people from diseases. Imagine meeting this one. And all you can say to this one who had done many, many mighty works, powerful works, miraculous things, all you can say to him is, why is your disciples not washed their hands before they eat? It almost sounds ridiculous. It almost sounds foolish. But you see, it reveals something to us. It reveals to us what is at the very heart of the religious hypocrite's problem. That's what it reveals to us. And you see, at the very heart of the religious hypocrite's problem is pride. Pride. These men were rotten with pride. And you see, this is why they come down from Jerusalem. Not to be taught of Christ, not to sit at his feet, not to worship him, not to benefit from him, but to judge him, because they were filled with pride, stinking, rotten pride. And you see, this is the root cause of this terrible condition of heart. Pride. Pride. These men were filled with pride. This is the reason why they behaved in the way that they did. And this is the why many people live and die as religious hypocrites, as religious pretenders, because they have hearts filled with pride. And in their pride, they refuse to humble themselves before Christ. And as they hear the gospel preached, as they hear about the Lord Jesus Christ, they stand as judges upon the Savior. Because their hearts are filled with pride. The pride of these Pharisees and scribes is particularly seen in two ways. We witness their pride in their commendation. As these men speak to Christ about his disciples and how they had eaten with unwashed hands, they were not only criticizing the disciples, you see, they were also commending themselves. They were commending themselves. They were congratulating themselves on how good they were. We are not like Christ's disciples, you see. That's what they were thinking. We're not like Christ's disciples. We are more holy than they are. We are better than they are. We would never eat with hands that weren't washed. We would never behave in this terrible way, this unholy way, this defiled manner. And they were congratulating themselves. They were promoting themselves. Highly commending in their own behavior as they criticized the disciples. This is what the religious hypocrite is always doing. This is what they engage in. In their pride, they think they are better than others. And in their pride, they would even commend their lives to Christ. And that's what the religious hypocrite does. This is what the Pharisees and scribes were continually doing. Remember the Pharisee in Luke 18? He went to the temple to pray. And remember how that man prayed? He says this, "God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are. Extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican, I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess." See what this man was doing. In his pride, he was commending himself to God. "Oh, I am so good. I am holy. I am much better than these other people. I would engage in the things that they do. I'm a good person. I'm a righteous person. I'm a religious person." You see, this is what the religious hypocrite does. They believe themselves to be good and worthy. And they think of themselves as acceptable before God. "Why, God will receive me. God will accept me because I am good." And yes, there are people out in this world and they would need a bit of religion. They would need some Damascus Road experience. They would need to be saved. But oh, not me. I'm a Protestant. I'm religious. This is the language of the religious hypocrite. The true child of God, the genuine believer, will see nothing of commendation in self. Instead, they will cry with Paul, "O wretched man that I am." And they will profess with Peter, "I am a sinful man, O Lord." They will acknowledge with Isaiah, "Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips." And they will declare with Job, "I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes." This is the heart of the genuine believer. Instead of self-commendation, there is self-contrition. They see no good thing within self. They see nothing but rottenness and sin and a heart that is ill-deserving, yea, even hell-deserving. That is how the true, genuine believer looks upon self. In fact, they look upon self in this manner. "How could God ever love me? How could God ever in any way treat me in love and kindness because I'm such a sinner?" This is the attitude, this is the frame of mind of the genuine Christian. And so what we must all consider here tonight is this. What is it we think of self? What do you think of self? What do you think about your own heart? What do you think about your own life? What do you think about your own spiritual condition? Well, forget about everybody else for a moment. Forget about everybody else and every other person that you know and every other one who professes to be saved. And let's just think about you tonight. I want you to consider your own heart. How do you consider your own heart? Because when you stand before God, God will not be looking at someone else. He'll be looking at you. And you will have to give an account for your own life. Do you see yourself as a sinner? An ill-deserving sinner? This is the attitude, this is the very frame of mind of the genuine Christian. Whereas the religious hypocrite, well, they see themselves as good and someone to commend, to be commended unto God. You see here the pride of the hypocrites in their commendation. We also see the pride of the hypocrite here in their condemnation. Their condemnation. The religious hypocrite is always pointing the finger at others. Always pointing the finger at others. The religious hypocrite is in the business of condemning others. That's the business they are in. These men had come down from Jerusalem. And as they come down from Jerusalem, they wasted no time to find fault. They find fault. And that's what it says at the very end of verse 2. Notice the words, they found fault. You see, that's what a hypocrite does. See here, Christ, he calls these men hypocrites. And what is the hypocrite doing? He's a fault finder. He's always pointing the finger. You know, I think it's a very solemn point to note that where we find hypocrites in the Bible, where hypocrites are mentioned in the Bible, and remember, a hypocrite is a person who pretends, is acting as a genuine Christian. Where we read about hypocrites in the Bible, we always find that they are in the business of criticizing those that genuinely belong to Christ. That always happens in the Bible. Where we meet the hypocrite, they're in the business of criticizing others. The greatest hypocrite, the greatest religious hypocrite of all, was Judas Iscariot. What an act he performed. What a show he put on as he acted out the part of the disciple of Christ. A man that was never genuinely converted. A man that was never a child of God. But what a performance he put on. And yet think of Judas Iscariot. How Judas Iscariot criticized Mary. As Mary manifested her love and devotion to Christ. Remember, Mary brought the costly ointment and she anointed the head of Christ and then she wiped his feet with her hair. It was an evident token of her love and devotion to the Savior. She was filled with love and dedication for him. But Judas says, oh, this was a waste. Why did Mary do this? Why was it not sold and the money donated to the poor? And there he was. The hypocrite. Man not genuinely saved. And he was pointing the finger at the zealous Christian, the genuine believer. In the Old Testament, we read of three men, Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. And they were found in the camp of Israel, these men. But even though they were found amongst God's people, these three men were just pretenders. They were not genuinely part of God's people. And in their time in the camp of Israel, we read of how they criticized Moses and Aaron. And they tried to lead a revolt against God's servant. And that's what they did. Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. They criticized God's servants. And they spoke against God's chosen servants. And they said, listen, what right have you to rule over us? Who do you think you are? We're just every bit as good as you are. And that's what they did. It's actually a very, very, very solemn passage of Scripture because the Word of God tells us that the earth opened up. These men went down alive into the pit to destruction. Yet the point again is this. The religious hypocrite and their pride is always pointing the finger. The finger of condemnation at genuine Christians. And that's what these three men did. They were only pretenders in the camp of Israel. But what did they do? They pointed the finger of accusation at Moses and Aaron. You see, this is what the scribes and Pharisees did with the disciples. They were only pretenders. But they felt fit to point the finger at those who were genuinely God's people. Now tonight, as you examine your own heart, and I trust tonight that you will. I trust this is the very reason why you've come to God's house. To place yourself under the Word of God. To place yourself under the truth of God that your heart might be examined. That you might feel its force and its weight. And you might be challenged and changed through the Word of God. I trust tonight this is the very reason why you've come. But as you examine your own heart tonight, do you find there a critical eye, a critical spirit towards other Christians? Perhaps you look at other Christians, you think, well, you know, I'm better than they are. Or perhaps you say, well, you know, I feel myself to be more holy than they are. I feel myself to be, and of course you would never say these things, but these are the things that you think, these are the things that you ponder. feel myself to be in a far better standing than they are. Well, if that is the case, that is the very symptom of being a religious hypocrite. That is exactly what the Pharisees and scribes did. And God is showing you these things tonight that you might repent, that you might turn, and you might seek Him and you might be genuinely saved. You might humble yourself before God, turn from your pride. He might lift you up into a place of true standing in Jesus Christ. You see here the problem of the hypocrite. Moving on quickly, we also see the performance of the hypocrite. We have the performance of the hypocrite at the end of verse 6 here. Notice what it says. This people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In Matthew's gospel, where this same incident is recorded, we're given slightly more details. It says in Matthew 15 verse 8, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And there is a thought of a people who come to the house of God, who are found in the place of worship, who are found participating in the place of worship, and yet their hearts are far from God. You see, this is all speaking about a performance. It's all speaking about an act. It was not genuine worship. It was only a charade, a pretense to worship. The Pharisees and scribes made a great show. They put on a great performance as they engaged in the ceremonies of worship. In Matthew 6, Christ says of them, they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. And this was what the Pharisees and the scribes loved to do. They loved to be seen of men. They loved to put on a great performance and a great show that people would stand in awe and think, what holy man! Yet the Lord, who knows the heart, was not impressed. The performance of the hypocrite is a rotten stench in the nostrils of a holy God. And considering the performance of the hypocrites as they worship, we see here in verse 6 the failure of their worship. The failure of their worship. The failure of the worship of the hypocrite is this. It is faithless. It's faithless worship. That is where the hypocrite fails. Their worship is faithless. When we read here that these people worship with their lips and not their hearts, it is telling us that their worship was without faith. That is basically what it is saying. People who draw near to God with their lips only are people who do not believe. They don't believe. And so it's only an outward performance. It's only a show. People who draw near to God with the heart are people who do believe. They do believe. They believe in God's worship. They believe He is worthy of all worship. They believe God is the Lord of hosts and the one who is worthy of our worship and of our praise. And so as they come before God believing these things, they draw near with the heart because they stand in awe of God. Those that believe in God, they worship God. Those that believe, genuinely believe, they also want to be placed under God's word. They want to hear what God has to say. They want to hear His truth because they genuinely believe. They want to hear what God has to say for them because as they believe in Christ, as they believe in God, they believe it is the King who speaks here. They believe in the authority of Scripture. They believe in God's word. And so they draw near with the heart that they might hear. Those that worship God with the heart not only believe in God's word and believe in God's worship, they believe in God's work. They believe in the cross. They believe what it accomplished. They see what Christ has made, or what provision Christ has made for their souls. And they rejoice in that. And so therefore they come to the place of worship, worshiping God because of His work. The work of salvation. And they love the Lord and they worship Him with great praise in their hearts. You see, faith, true faith in worship will save a person from mocking God by drawing near to Him with their lips only. This is what true faith does. It delivers a soul from mocking God. It moves a person to that place where they draw near to God with their heart and with their whole heart. These Pharisees, these scribes, they just didn't believe. They didn't believe. That was their failure in worship. They didn't believe. They didn't believe in God's worship. They didn't believe in God's word. They didn't believe in God's work. And so therefore, they came to the house of God and they put a performance on for a God they didn't believe in. But the person who genuinely believes will draw near to God with their heart reverently and solemnly and attentively. They will worship God in a way that reflects they believe. They believe. Is it heart worship tonight that you're coming to God with? Is it heart worship as you're found in God's house? Or as you're found in this place, is it merely lip service? The failure of their worship. Notice also here the frightening thing about their worship. These Jews that confronted the Lord Jesus were engaged in every form of religious life and worship. They outwardly acted in the right way. They publicly said the right things. The people revered them. They were revered of the Jewish people, the ordinary Jewish people, because they appeared so holy and pious. And yet all along they knew not God. Even though their lives were filled with religious observance, and even though they knew and were well acquainted with the truth of God's word, and these men were, they could have recited huge portions of the Old Testament. They memorized these things. And yet they knew not Christ. Their lives were all a fraud. They were all just hypocrites. Do you know what that teaches us? It teaches us that you can be found in the very center of the work of God. You can be found in a prominent position within the church, knowing the word of God, knowing the truth of God, and still never a genuine child of God. And that's what it teaches us. That is the frightening thing about the worship of the hypocrite. See, the hypocrite isn't in the world. The hypocrite isn't in the pub tonight. The hypocrite is not out living an immoral life tonight before this world. The hypocrite's found in the house of God. The religious hypocrite. They are found under the preaching of God's word. They are found associated with God's people. And that is the absolutely frightening thing about the worship of the hypocrite. They are found part of the work, and yet they know not Christ. I often think of those solemn words the Savior spoke as he preached in Matthew 7. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. The heart that we need to examine tonight, the soul that we need to search, is our own. Familiarity with spiritual things does not mean all is well. Far from it. You could come to the free church. You could be brought up in the free church. You could be brought up in the Protestant Reformed faith. Catechized in it. And still only be a religious hypocrite. It is love for Christ that counts. It's heart worship. Is it heart religion that is found in you tonight? Is it? The performance of the hypocrite. The problem of the hypocrite. Notice also with me here the path of the hypocrite. The path of the hypocrite is one of dismissing and rejecting God's word. And that's what we see in this passage. In verse 7, Christ points to how the Pharisees and scribes destroy the truth of God's word. Notice what it says in verse 7. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Here these men, they destroy the word of God. They contaminate it because they teach their own doctrines. As if it was the word of God. Then in verse 8 we see that they demote the truth of God's word. Because it says in verse 8, for laying aside the commandment of God, ye hold the tradition of men. And so they not only destroy the word of God, they demote the word of God. They put their own traditions above it. And then in verse 9 we see that they dismiss the truth of God's word. And he said unto them, full well ye reject the commandment of God, that ye may keep your own tradition. Christ actually is pointing to one of the main problems with the religious hypocrite. It is their attack upon truth. These men, they destroy God's word. They demote it. They dismiss it. And the outworking of this disregard for God's word is given in verse 13. Making the word of God of none effect through your traditions, which ye have delivered, and many such like things to ye. The hypocrite makes the word of God of none effect. In other words, it doesn't benefit them. It doesn't do them any good. Yes, as we've already said, these men knew the word of God. They had memorized it. And yet it didn't change their lives. It didn't bring them into a right relationship with God. Because they made the word of God of none effect. The Savior gives an example of this in verses 10 to 12 here. In verse 10 he speaks of the fifth commandment and how children are to honour their parents. This honouring of parents included looking after them in their old age. And of course we are not so much familiar with these things today, but in Bible times there was no social services, there was no such thing as pensions or anything like that. And so elderly people relied upon their children to look after them when they were old, to feed them when they couldn't work. In Bible times people just worked for a day's wages, normal people. And that's how they lived from day to day. But when people got old and they couldn't look after themselves, then their sons and their daughters provided for them. And this was part of keeping the fifth commandment, honoring their father and their mother when they're old. But the Pharisees, they freed themselves from this obligation by saying, well, we have gifted ourselves to God. We are God's servants. We are part of God's work. We have gifted ourselves to God. Therefore, we don't have to provide for our parents. We don't have to supply their needs. In reality, these men thought they knew more than God. And so they dismiss what God says. And they do as they please. You see, this is the path of the religious hypocrite. This is the road they travel on in life. They're about rejecting the word of God. That's what they're about. They're about rejecting it, turning away from it. Setting it aside. We might think, you know, well, we wouldn't be found in this position. But let's think about it. In the Bible, God says, you must be born again. But you know what the religious hypocrite says? I know that, but I'm good enough. I know the Bible says you must be born again, but that's for the person who's in the gutter. That's for the man who's steeped in sin. But I'm good enough, so it doesn't really count for me. I've been up and brought up in the church. I've attended the church all my days. That's what the religious hypocrite says. And Christ says, a new commandment I give unto thee, that you love one another. The religious hypocrite says this, I know we are to love one another, but that person's so unlovable. That person's so undesirable. You couldn't like them if you tried. Never mind love them. That's the thought, that's the language of the religious hypocrite. They dismiss the word of God. They make it of none effect in their life. And that's the business they're in. This is the path of the hypocrite. The performance of the hypocrite. The problem of the hypocrite. Notice with me in closing here, and very quickly, the punishment of the hypocrite. In verse 7, Christ speaks of the punishment of the hypocrite. For he says, howbeit in vain do they worship me. These words are actually very sobering. For the Savior is speaking here of people who are failing. People who fail. As they engage in religious acts, they're trying to achieve something. They're trying to work their way to heaven. Like Cain, who was the very first religious hypocrite. He was the very first one to take this path, to travel on this road. Yes, he was found worshipping God on the right day, at the right time. But it was all hypocrisy. For he was a man presenting himself and not coming through God's ordained means. And he failed. He worshipped God in vain. And that's the same for every religious hypocrite. Christ says, it is in vain you to worship me. And the word vain means unsuccessful. Unsuccessful. The religious hypocrite will ultimately be unsuccessful. They will fail. And they will fail in their worthless vain worship. Because their worship will only bring greater damnation upon their head. That's all it will bring. Their attendance of God's house, their putting on a good show before the eyes of men, will only bring the judgment of God in greater measure upon their heads. Job 8:13 says, the hypocrite's hope shall perish. The hypocrite's hope shall perish. Oh, how dreadfully will the hypocrite's hope perish as they stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Oh, how terrible will that day be for them. They might speak of all the things that they have done. And they might argue about all the things that they have been involved in. And all the things that they have professed. But Christ will say on that day, in vain did you worship me. Matthew 24:51 tells us what he will do to every pretender. He will appoint them their portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. In vain, unsuccessfully, they do worship me. Of all the things that we need to be certain about in life, this is the most important. Is our religion real? Is it real? Will it hold water? Will it stand the test? Will it stand the fire of God's judgment? This is the thing that I would fear most. There are so many who would profess to be in a right standing with God. So many who profess to be saved. And yet, is their religion real? Is it meaningful? The ultimate test is this. Do you love Christ? Do you love Christ as your Savior? Do you love Him with all of your heart? This was the great distinguishing characteristic between Christ's disciples and the Pharisees. The Pharisees loathed Christ. They had no time for Him. They were there to judge Him. They were there to examine Him. But the disciples loved Christ. They drew near to Him with their heart. They didn't draw near with their lips to criticize. They drew near with their hearts to worship. The great acid test is this. Do you love Christ? Or do you tonight? If you do, then you'll come and you'll humble yourself before Him. And you'll worship Him as your Savior and as your Redeemer. You'll delight in Him. You'll rejoice in Him. Do you love Christ tonight? Is your religion real? If tonight God has spoken to you and you have felt the weight of His truth upon your own heart and conscience, there is hope. There is a time to get right with God. And I trust you will come tonight. And you will, with sincerity of heart, acknowledging your need as a sinner, seek Christ for salvation. I trust you will come tonight. May God even give you grace to do so. For His own name's sake. Amen.